go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. In this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
Now you can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
Yes, today we want to welcome listeners joining us for the first time. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of our saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
Well, today we're continuing our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church, and Peter and I have shared what we believe is a critical truth about the Lord's purposes for His people, and that is that His heart is both to build and rebuild His church here on the earth, and He's calling us to join Him as we move from maintenance to mission in the church.
We've established that rebuilding a missional church begins primarily not with events, programs, or guest speakers. Rather, it begins when individuals, including clergy, consecrated religious, and the laity, encounter Jesus Christ based on the patterns that we see in the Blessed Mother and her fiat, St. Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi, and St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Leslie and I have been sharing a providential experience that happened in our lives that has increased our desire to rebuild a missional mindset in our hearts and in the hearts of our listening audience.
Yes, we recently returned from a wonderful pilgrimage to Greece and Turkey, where we followed in the footsteps of St. Paul on his second and third missionary journey, and it was such an exciting time. And for all of us on this pilgrimage, it was a powerful opportunity to renew and ignite our faith and change our lives through a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ. And we're especially thankful to Tecton Ministries, who coordinated our pilgrimage and other Catholic pilgrimages for individuals, parishes, and other nonprofit groups. And what we learned is really captured in the Catechism in paragraph 2691. Pilgrimages evoke our earthly journey toward heaven and are traditionally very special occasions for renewal and prayer. And we experienced that. And for pilgrims seeking living water, shrines are special places for living the forms of Christian prayer in the church. And we visited several shrines.
Amen. And that's all very real, Leslie. Yes, and since our return, Leslie and I have been reflecting on how we personally profited from our pilgrimage and how this experience following in the footsteps of St. Paul has ignited our vision to move from maintenance to mission for us personally. This is our third broadcast to reflect on our pilgrimage following in the footsteps of St. Paul. Leslie and I are seeing the benefit to our spiritual life because of this experience, and we have talked about four results that have happened to us.
Things that we're kind of experiencing right now.
Yes. First of all, this experience has caused us to go deep in Scripture. It opened the Scripture to us in fresh ways as we read about St. Paul's various experiences in the Acts of the Apostles.
Right. We read those things before each of the sites that we visited.
Amen.
It also really renewed our sense of of prayer. We spent a lot more time in prayer. We carried a book of prayer intentions with us and prayed for those intentions at the various holy sites that we visited and asking for the intercession of the saints.
And thirdly, daily Mass was a real blessing as it allowed us to encounter Jesus Christ while on pilgrimage as we were celebrating that sacrifice in the Mass with our fellow pilgrims, building eternal memories for sure.
And finally, as the Catechism states, we understood that we're all pilgrims journeying to heaven as our true home.
Not only did this pilgrimage enrich our spiritual life, but it also gave us insight into a missional mindset that molded our beloved Saint Paul. We have spoken of three of those mindset motivations that we saw in Paul and his team. First of all, we saw that Saint Paul was committed to go, capital G, capital O. Jesus said, "Whoever loves his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." Saint Paul definitely lost his former life for Jesus Christ and replaced it with his willingness to go on mission. During more than 20 years, he made three missionary journeys, and he traveled over 10,000 miles. Some people believe even that there was a fourth missionary journey if he did reach Spain. He went by ship and foot through such as then known the world, preaching about Jesus and founding Christian communities. He journeyed primarily through present-day Israel, Syria, Turkey, and Greece.
And we saw firsthand that walking those distances would have been extremely tough for St. Paul. It took him through mountainous terrain and wilderness. And we also see in the Acts of the Apostles that when he was traveling by sea, that wasn't easy either.
No.
And we learned on our pilgrimage that his journey took him along the Via Ignatia, or the Ignatian Way, which is the Roman highway that connected many of the cities that Paul visited, and it allowed the gospel to be spread.
Yeah, just as Paul found the Ignatian Way, as we talked about, so you and I need to find our Ignatian Way so that we too can go, capital G, capital O again. Remember at the end of Mass in Latin, it was said, ita missa est, which says, go, the Mass is ended. The second thing we learned about St. Paul's missionary mindset came from a night vision Paul received. He saw someone in Macedonia calling for help, and we pointed out that that Greek word for help was not just a casual, please come when you can, it was a spiritual 911 call for help. And we saw how this cry for help led Paul and Silas into Europe rather than Asia, where they first encountered Saint Lydia at the river, and she became the very first convert in Europe.
Well, there are a few lessons that we, Peter, can learn from this call for help. And first of all, a call for help can actually be a guidance system for us if we're looking for the place where the Lord wants us to serve in our personal mission. So listen for that call to help. But secondly, often those most in need of our help are within our networks, and they may not be aware of how desperate their situation is. The church teaches us about death, judgment, heaven, and hell. It's called The four last things. Okay. And there are many people that we know personally that may not be aware of their desperate need for our help, and they don't know how important it is to really embrace the words of Jesus.
And lastly, the third element that we've talked about is that we have seen St. Paul be so bold towards the culture of the day, towards the idolatry. He wasn't ashamed to confront the ungodly pagan culture of the day. In fact, he and his team were known as the ones that were turning the world upside down.
Okay, listeners, please stay with us now because we're going to take a short break. And when we return, we will continue with our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church, and share how Peter and I discovered in St. Paul and his team the fourth key motivation and mindset as they were on mission. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tomio. I listen to her, and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, you know, I'm not a Catholic. I listen to your station.
You always hear 100% Catholic programming 24/7, 7 days a week, right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're continuing our series of broadcasts, Rebuilding a Missional Church. We've been discussing our recent pilgrimage, following in the footsteps of St. Paul and his team as they led the first century church into an age of mission. And we realized in a fresh new way that what St. Paul accomplished is not just a nice history lesson. Mm-hmm. Rather, what he modeled and what he embedded in the New Testament becomes a blueprint for us in the Western church if we're to become missional. So, Peter, let's jump right in and discuss that fourth insight we received while we were on pilgrimage.
Yes, our pilgrimage brought us to this fourth important dimension that must be proclaimed, and that is Paul's mindset as a missionary, and that is that he preached. And what did he preach? He preached a simple message of the gospel. And we need to look at 1 Corinthians, when he writes to the Corinthian church, when, by the way, we did visit Corinth, which was a powerful time and place in our pilgrimage. But listen to the simple message that he was talking to the Corinthians about. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." He said, it's written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart." Paul goes on to say, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through its wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." Paul finally said here, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Listen, the first thing we see here is that Paul is telling the Corinthians, we do not need a theology degree to proclaim Jesus Christ. It is simply Christ and him crucified. St. Paul, in the same breath, goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to talk about this Christ that he's proclaiming. He said, "When I came to you, brethren," speaking to the Corinthians, "I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom."
That's that theology degree.
Yeah, that's right. He said, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's pretty simple, but that's where the power is, Leslie. "And I was with you in weakness," he said, "in much fear and trembling." If you remember, in the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus appeared to Paul in a night vision and said, "Don't be afraid any longer, but go forth and preach, because I've got many people in this city." And I think Paul was thinking about that when he wrote this to the Corinthians. He said, "My message and speech were not in plausible words of wisdom, but I love this, Leslie, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith, Corinthians, might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's the simple message, and it's the simple message of the cross, Paul is telling us, that releases the power of God. That's the kerygma.
Well, as we visited these ancient cities where Paul preached, we would read the scriptures before each of our visit, and
right.
We learned that the main message St. Paul preached everywhere is summed up by the Greek word kerygma, which means the proclamation of Jesus Christ, his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. So this is a really good lesson for us, Peter. It's very simple. Like St. Paul, we need to keep the proclamation of the good news simple,
right,
and talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
This is the message St. Paul tells us that releases the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Peter, I know that you've put together some of the essentials of the gospel that you want to share with our listeners and to think about when they are thinking about being on mission.
Yes, so the essentials of the gospel that Paul is telling us about and that we need to learn from, kind of follow in his footsteps, if you will, is that Paul preached about Jesus Christ, specifically his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. That's the Paschal mystery, Leslie, and the kerygma is when we proclaim that.
I think we forget about that. We just forget about the fact that it's the gospel.
Yes, exactly. And so the message of Paul is essentially the same as that of Jesus and his message as he walked the earth. Let's think about that for a minute. That in the person and mission of Jesus Christ, God has visited human beings to bring them this messianic salvation. But there was one great difference when Paul preached. Paul stands on the other side of the cross and the resurrection, and he's able to see that what was being accomplished in Jesus' life was incomplete apart from the cross and that empty tomb. That's why he was always talking about the resurrection when you go to these different places that he preached. While the blessings of the kingdom of God were present in Jesus' words, obviously, the greatest blessing of God's kingdom was in the conquest of Satan and death and the gift of this new life in Jesus Christ. And of course, this was accomplished only by Jesus' death and resurrection. And again, when you read in the book of Acts, he's constantly reminding people that Jesus rose from the dead.
Right. So as we followed in St. Paul's footsteps, we learned from him how he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ on his missionary journeys. And when we speak with others who need to know about Jesus, I think we should follow his example. It was a pretty good one.
Right. And so this is something that Leslie and I are working on as a result of this pilgrimage, is just to get that simple gospel, that simple message of him suffering, him crucified, dying and resurrected in our DNA, and to be prepared to share that with others. And we're going to talk more about that as we go on here today, that this is the message that Christ wants us to spread around in lots of different places.
Okay, listeners, please stay with us now. We're going to take another short break, and when we return, we will continue with our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church and Following in St. Paul's Footsteps. And we're going to discuss the fifth and final takeaway from our pilgrimage. And it's not only important to see what Paul preached, but we're going to learn about where he preached.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and we're currently in a series of broadcasts called Rebuilding a Missional Church. And we've been learning that the heart of God is to rebuild that which has fallen into ruin in our church and move us from maintenance to mission. And in our last segment, we discussed that while on pilgrimage, we learned so much from St. Paul on what it means to be on mission. I think he is like the key apostle on that.
Uh-huh.
Our first takeaway was his commitment to go where the Lord sent him. And we too must replicate St. Paul's example and ask ourselves how we can begin to develop the desire to go as missionary disciples. So that's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. And then the second takeaway from our pilgrimage as missionary disciples, we are guided by the call for desperate help by those who need the gospel. So we need to listen for that cry for help. Our third key takeaway from following in the footsteps of St. Paul was this: St. Paul and his team faced the pagan culture that surrounded the cities with boldness, and they preached and confronted idolatry with the claims of Jesus Christ. And just think about all the idolatry that's around us today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we discussed the fourth takeaway, and that was the message Paul and his team preached. It was simple, yet it always went to the core of the gospel, that Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins, then rose from the dead. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father and calls each of us to repent, to change our mind and our actions, and call on his name. Okay, Peter, we're ready for that fifth insight. What else can we learn from following in the footsteps of St. Paul?
Leslie, let's start by thinking about this. It's not only critical to know what St. Paul preached, it's also critical to know where Paul preached. He knew where to target his efforts. And I think that this is a great reflection to see when we look at St. Paul going into Athens. When he went into Athens, the Holy Spirit opens up to us through St. Luke, who recorded this, some real insight into St. Paul and his mentality. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 17, verses 16 and 8 through 18. It says, "Now while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was waiting for Silas and Timothy that were in Thessalonica, and he went to Athens to wait for them to come out of there and to him. His spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who chanced to be there." That's interesting. I'll comment on that in a minute. "So also of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers met him." It's unbelievable, Leslie, that I've never saw that before until we prepared for this broadcast. It says that phrase of those who chanced to be there. In other words, it implies that Paul was always aware of these divine appointments that came before him. It just wasn't happenstance, in other words, when he met somebody in the marketplace. It was a divine appointment, and he was always ready to share the good news. Also, we see that Paul had this target that he practiced continually. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says, as was his custom. This section is a powerful revelation of why the gospel needs to be presented to every culture and every age in our world. There's Paul waiting in Athens for his team to show up. And he's looking around at these great temples of the Acropolis.
And it was a striking, beautiful city.
Oh, it was amazing. Now it's in a ruined state, but nevertheless still one of the most beautiful buildings in the world right now.
Right, is the Acropolis,
yes,
that crowns the city.
And the Parthenon there too.
Well, we saw the ruins of many temples. We saw theaters, gymnasiums, buildings of governance and commerce in the marketplace of ancient Athens and also in some of the other ancient cities. Mm-hmm. But we learned that as the Apostle Paul walked around the city, he saw the gods of Athens and the idols that were being worshipped. And one of the ancient writers tells us, in our research, we learned that at this time there were about 30,000 gods in Athens, which is pretty
unbelievable.
Amazing. Well, many of these statues have survived and they are samples of ancient art. However, Paul recognized that they were not merely objects of art, but they were actually gods that were being worshipped by the people of Athens. And this was not just in the environment in Athens. It was found everywhere throughout this entire Greco-Roman period.
Right. St. Luke tells us that Paul's spirit was moved when he saw all this, and it says he was provoked. It's interesting, Leslie, that Greek word is a word from which we get our word paroxysm, which means Paul felt an intensity like a storm inside. It just wasn't a little feeling. He had a storm inside when he saw the city given over to idolatry. And a sudden attack or increase of a disease, that's what that word means. The Greek states that this is intense anger, and it also says that Paul just didn't have this feeling one time. The scripture says that it was continual. So as the apostle went around the city, his spirit was greatly troubled to see men and women consumed by this belief and worship of false gods. There were three groups that he spoke to, remember? First of all, he went into the synagogue.
Every city he went to, he always tried to go to the synagogue first.
Right, that's where he started. And there he spoke to the religious people, the Jews, and the devout persons. Secondly, he went to the common citizens that were found in the marketplace called the Agora. And Leslie and I walked through the Agora for 5 hours, didn't we, Leslie?
Yeah, we explored everything.
Right. This was where the tradesmen, people going about their business, commercial people coming in with their wares to the city square. There he met them and talked with them. Here people were filled with superstition, fears, uncertainty, dreads, and inner tensions and turmoil. Then they followed their false gods. And finally, there was that third group, the philosophers. These were the men who did not believe in the gods, but they offered an alternative pagan philosophy.
So, Peter, how do you think we should apply this to our own lives? As we take on a more missional mindset and follow in the footsteps of Paul, where should we be ready to be sent by the Holy Spirit to share this good news?
Well, remember, Paul went to the synagogue first. And the way I see that, Leslie, that would be to our own church and our own family, that which is closest to us, because that was Paul's family in the natural, so to speak. Go first there with the Gospels. There is many in our churches and in our families whose faith is dormant and need conversion and reconversion. All of us, of course, I know have non-practicing Catholics in our church and in our families. Secondly, we go to the marketplace. That would be our neighbors, coworkers, friends, random folks at the grocery store, sports teams where our kids play. And finally, confront the philosophers of our day.
This is probably the hardest one.
Yes. And, you know, I was thinking the philosophy of our day, Leslie, atheism, secularism, and relativism. Those three isms are the philosophy in Western culture. This is where we need to equip our young people also on campuses to focus on how to confront these isms and share their faith. And, of course, we know Focus, that we're very close to, does a great job at that.
Okay, Peter. Well, thank you for giving us, I think these can become our marching orders, and so we need to pray. Let's go ahead and pray for our listeners and ourselves that we can be on mission.
Father, again today, in Jesus' name, we thank you for St. Paul and his team and how you use them to spread this good news to begin the church. Very practically through Christian communities. We thank you for the mindset that St. Paul left us as a legacy. And we pray in Jesus' name for ourselves, for our listeners, and for our fellow Catholics throughout the West and in this country, that we would follow in the footsteps of St. Paul. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay, listeners, we just so appreciate that you joined us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and your parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.